This is CliffCentral.com.
Another thing you don't want to miss every morning, Anthea Gardner with the money.
She looks hard for the money.
Oh, yes, she does.
So hard for it, honey.
You betcha.
She was hard for the money, so you said.
All right, it is Monday, the start of a brand new week. Let's check in with Anthea Gardner and see what's happening with the money, as we call it. Anthea, good morning. How was your weekend?
Good morning. Yes, I had a good weekend. Lots of catching up. I had to go to the Union Buildings. I had a friend visiting.
Union Buildings?
Yeah, because he wanted to see the Union Buildings.
Oh, as a tourist.
As a tourist.
You went,
yes,
you went there for a meeting.
No. Oh, no. They do not want me there.
It's pretty up there, though.
It is very. Yeah, it's pretty impressive, actually, as well. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we did a few of that, and then just catching up with friends, drinks, dinners, the usual. Too much eating, too much drinking. Feeling guilty this Monday morning.
No, you're allowed to. That's what weekends are for, right?
Right, yeah.
Let's look at the markets. What happened on Friday?
So we were down on Friday about 80 basis points. The rand also weaker, 14.43 during the day, closed about 14.41 around there. So, and I mean, this is an odd thing that's happening because resources were about 0.5% higher.
Again, we don't. This is so weird.
These resource stocks, right? Yeah. And also, I would think that as the resources generally rally, that the rand would get stronger because they're having to pay more money for resources because we're a resource country, right? Mm-hmm. But that's not happening. I mean, things are really out of kilter a bit at the moment, I must admit. But, you know, just we're going to stick with the basics, to strong companies with strong fundamentals, and kind of hang on to them and sit in there for the ride, basically. I think there's a lot of sentiment-driven stuff at the moment. As far as the dollar goes, a lot of people are calling the dollar weaker, which means the rand should be stronger, which it is. I mean, you know, below 14.50, it's been trading for the last week and a half. So I guess that's kind of normal, but it's all a bit odd for me. So what to do, I don't know. And I see Asia's down again this morning. But then the other thing is that I think investors are sitting on their hands a bit at the moment. They're waiting for – we've got two central bank meetings this week. We've got Japan and the U.S. So I think bankers are just kind of – I mean, investors are just holding on and waiting to see what happens. They're looking for certainty.
All right. Let's go to Steinhoff.
Our favorite share, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're annoying me a bit at the moment, though. So first of all, they have now pulled out of the Fnac-Darty deal. So they got into a bidding war with Fnac. Oh, sorry. No, they've pulled – my mistake. They pulled out of the home retail this Argos bid that they were in. So this was with Sainsbury's. So Sainsbury's outbid them. So that's it. They're not going to buy Argos anymore. And now they're in a bidding war with Fnac for Darty. So they up their offer, Fnac up their offer. Fnac actually sold some of their business to Vivendi so that they could get cash, I think.
They really want this.
They want this Darty, right? But at what stage do you say no? And that's kind of the problem at the moment, because we know that Steinhoff's sitting on a nice pile of cash after the bond raise. And actually, you know, even if we look at that, so the share was down 3% on Friday. It's down about 6% since the bond raise. If you look at kind of just very, very simplistically, if you take that out of the equation, they raised a bond debt at 4.8%. They're paying about 10% in South Africa. So they should actually be in the money. The rand has strengthened about 6% since their bond issue. So net-net, they're in the money. The share's down. So that's a bit odd again. But I think investors like me really don't like these bidding wars. Like, at what price do you say, stop, you can have it? And if they do that, what are they going to do with the money? Where are they going to go next? So it's this question of where are they going to find value? I think with the Darty deal, Steinhoff can extract about, I think they said it was 100 million euros worth of value just in synergies, just by combining their business with Conforama, the Darty Conforama business. That's not bad, eh? So, of course, we want this deal, but not at any price. I think that's the point.
So what would you do with your shares?
I'm going to hang on for a while longer, but I tell you what, I'm definitely watching it a bit more carefully than I was before. I don't think Marcus Joost is the kind of guy to overpay for a business. So we'll see. Yeah. You know, if he pulls out of the Darty deal as well, hopefully he'll just find another one. We're going to keep fingers crossed for that. And then talking about deals, have you ever wondered what happened to Marcel Golding?
Yes, what did happen after ETV? After
there was a court case as well.
There was a court case. There was, it was a very ugly, acrimonious breakup. Yep. He went off into the sunset.
And that was in 2014, somewhere around there.
So not long ago.
Yeah. But he's been very quiet until now. So he popped up on the radar on Friday because he's now bought a listed company called African Overseas Enterprises. He's bought it from Brimstone Investments. So O-A-O-E, as it's known, own a company called Rex Trueform, which is a Cape Town clothing factory, if you like. And they supply Queen's Park and J. Crew. So we kind of had a look at this because the market cap of AOE is only 13.75 million rand. He's bought, him and a consortium of people have bought 81% of this business. But we all know from the SENS reports in 2004 and he was having this fight because ETV was owned by a listed company called HCI that Marcel sold 700 million rands worth of shares. Mm-hmm. So now the question is, what is he going to do with this AOE? And what does Marcel know about making clothing is my question.
Hmm.
But I think he's going to use this vehicle as an investment holding company, basically. And it seems that everyone goes that way, right? So Christo Visser has Stella Capital, there's Brait, all these investment holding companies. And they pump money into it and they treat it initially like a family office. So kind of a family office is when you manage your own money, when you've got enough to manage your own money.
Right.
And you buy private equity businesses, you buy a few listed businesses, and hopefully you make some more money on the money you've made. So I think he's just going to use that as an investment vehicle. Because honestly, I don't know enough about Queen's Park, J. Crew, or Rex Trueform, but I don't think it's a business that's doing particularly well.
I think retail generally is struggling, particularly clothing retail.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And you've got so much offshore competition coming in now that anything locally produced, I don't know, how do you sell it? How do you...
Right.
Yeah. So there we go. That's pretty much kind of what he's been up to in the last year and a half.
Okay. Now, what about The Big Short that you and Sarah brought up? I think it was sometime last year.
Lewis, you're talking about Lewis Group, right? Okay, so now you all know what The Big Short is, right? You sell shares, you think the market's going to go down, or the sector, or these shares are going to go down. So Sarah came in here and said she wanted to short Lewis. Last week, in fact, the National Credit Regulator referred Lewis Stores to the National Consumer Tribunal because they're saying that Lewis Stores charged their clients on top of the warranties for the furniture they were already selling. They charged them extra insurance or extra warranties or maintenance or whatever you wanted to call it. And the National Credit Regulator is recommending that Lewis Store pay back all their customers this extra money that they charged all the way back to 2007.
Oof.
That is a lot of money, I think. And on top of that, apparently, they're also recommending that Lewis pays back their customers club fees because apparently there's some sort of club, and I don't know enough about the club, but I imagine you paid, I don't know, 10 rand a month, and then they would send you a little booklet with all their specials. I imagine that that's how it goes, right?
Right.
So the National Credit Regulator saying that was unlawful as well, pay back customers all the way back to 2007. Oh, and just one more thing while we're at it. On top of that, they're saying you need to pay back an additional 10% of annual turnover as an admin fee.
What?
Yeah.
That's a lot of money.
So the National Credit Regulator is having a real go. So did Sarah's Big Short work? Yes. The share's down 44% in the last year.
Oh, nice. So, like, does she get a big bottle of champagne now? How does it work? Does she get like a stripper grab on Friday? Like, you know.
Okay, just can I clarify?
Sorry, I watched a lot of Billions in the weekend. I'm just trying to put two and two together here.
Okay, and by the way, for the record, Flex, all my investment banking years, I never got offered cocaine. Just
yeah, that was
anyone
question
ever
three.
Jump out your windows?
No, no one's ever jumped out the window. Although I think one or two Morgan Stanley people did. Commit suicide. It is high powered, but not to that extent. So yes, Sarah might get a nice big bonus.
Well, there we go. All right. What about MTN? While we're talking about companies and shares jumping up and down and all the rest of it, but they released their first quarter KPI last week, right?
Yeah. So their key performance indicators they did, There's a lot of noise around MTN. This is another share that's down, what, 40% in the last year?
Oh, it's horrible. No, I'm so glad I got rid of it when I did.
Yeah. And the question is it time to buy, of course? Are we? It's gone 40% down. They still have a strong balance sheet, actually. Their KPI numbers last week were interesting, though. So very divergent results, really. So the countries that use a lot of data, so South Africa is one of them, Iran, Ghana, they seem to be doing well. So people seem to be using a lot of data, and the revenues from that seem to increase quite well. And hopefully, now that Iran's back on stream, MTN will be able to repatriate the profits that they've made because they've had to leave it there through the sanctions.
Right.
So that would be quite nice. But these numbers are not great. So MTN are saying that quarter on quarter that their revenues are increasing and that their subscriber numbers have bottomed out. Basically, you know, they had to cut off 4.5 million subscribers or SIM cards. Yeah. And all of that really has an impact on revenue because now you can't use those. Even if somebody picked it up and they wanted to, they couldn't. And they measure something called ARPUs. What is it? Average revenue per user.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the numbers that we look at. But actually, so quarter on quarter, they look okay. They're actually not bad. But year on year, those numbers are still down. I'm really not sure that I think MTN will bounce. So I think in the next couple of weeks or months, we could see the stock up 10%, 12, 15 maybe. But there's so much downside risk. And I'm not sure that they have bottomed out on their subscriber numbers or that this Iran kind of upstreaming of their cash flow is going to make that much of a difference. They definitely have enough money on their balance sheet to pay the 7 Rand dividend. So 7 Rand on a stock that's trading at about 140 Rand. What's that? Not great. 5%? It's 5%.
It's not enough.
Okay. It's not enough to make you excited to go out and buy the stock, though, is it?
No.
Yeah, okay. So I think that answers that question.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so that's pretty much it. I mean, we've got a bit of news. It's a quiet day, quiet week, I think, we're expecting this week. Asia, unfortunately, as I said, is down this morning. So I guess looks like we'll probably follow their lead.
All right, hold on to your money.
Yeah, there we go.
Just and also be patient.
That's what it is, right?
These things are not overnight successes. Nothing is. Thank you, Anthea.
My pleasure.
Excellent. There's Anthea Gardner with a look at your money.
This is CliffCentral.com.